Welcome to Clifton Health on Air.
I'm your host, Danielle.
And I'm your co-host, Lauren.
And welcome to Clifton Health on Air, a local health department podcast here in Clifton, New Jersey, and also serving the township of Little Falls.
We are located 12 miles west of New York City.
And today we're talking about their social services division. Hello, everyone. We have with us Nate, Erica, and Tom from our social services division. Welcome, everyone.
Welcome.
Hey.
And so just before, since this is social services, we do want to take a moment to have a mindfulness moment to just take a deep breath and remember what we're grateful for. So that moment will begin now. How fun was that? Great. So that was it. So in order to get to know our social services division, let's start with what do you individually focus on? We'll start with Erica.
All right. So yeah, my name is Erica and my primary focus is addiction, recovery, and mental health.
My name is Tom. I primarily focus on child mental health, family services, and disabilities.
My name is Nate. I focus on unhoused community, the veterans, as well as people who are about to be evicted from their houses.
All right. Thank you. Thank you guys so much. So can you tell us a little bit about what inspired you to pursue the professions that you guys are in?
I kind of stumbled into this position. I was looking for a veteran's ID card and found an unhoused task force. John Beagle, Adriana, as well as Gary, Sergeant Gary. They were giving an unhoused task force meeting, and I stepped into it, and then listening to their passion for this community and hearing their stories, and then being able to share my story. I fell into homelessness when I was a young kid from 13 to 15. So helping the unhoused community really is a passion of mine, and I find a purpose in doing what I do day to day, and John has given me the opportunity to do what I do and given me a lucky team to help me out with the things that I run into every day. So,
hi everyone, Tom here. For me, it started probably after I graduated from Montclair State University. I graduated with my undergraduate degree in psychology, and right after graduating, I obtained a position at a school for special needs students. It was known as the Children's Institute in Verona, New Jersey. I worked there for about 4 years as a teaching assistant and developed a passion and love for working with that population. I've also continued to this day. I still do therapy part-time for the population. And, you know, I have about 11 years of experience in it now, and it's always something that I'm looking forward to growing in and continuing.
As for myself, I went to school for public health, which was very broad. So then I did my internship here at the Clifton Health Department. I got to witness a lot of different careers, and I got to meet a lot of people. And, you know, social work really interests me, just based off, you know, personal experience. And I've always been a really big advocate for mental health, and I just wanted to play my part. So I'm actually pursuing my master's in social work right now, so I can eventually be an actual social worker.
That's wonderful. Thank you all for sharing your inspirational stories. And you touched upon having an internship here at the health department in both of your roles. Were they prior to COVID? Have you seen mental health in this community kind of stay the same?
I mean, I think mental health, whether people realize it or not, has always been something that should be focused on. There used to be more of a stigma around it. There is still slightly a stigma, but we try our best to kind of eliminate that, because there's, you know, everyone needs to take care of their mental health, and we do our best at the health department to promote, you know, the anti-stigma and just everyone supporting their mental health and everything.
I've also noticed after COVID-19, the rate of anxiety and depression in kids has gone up unexpectedly and unplanned. You know, they spent the whole year you know, schooling from home. They were not prepared for it. None of us were. So now they're trying to ease back into society, back into their typical routine, and do it in a calm and healthy way. But, you know, for some of them, like all of us, they have different anxieties and triggers and things that they have to, in a healthy way, pursue mentally. So we've noticed that as well in the schools.
It starts with a conversation. It always is just opening up to the idea of conversating about the idea of maybe you might not be alone. Mm-hmm. Everybody has something that they're going through. Everyone mm-hmm. has something that they are willing to share or and get comfortable with the idea that they're not on this island suffering by themselves. And that's what we try to do, is we try to open up that platform for a conversation. Mm-hmm. And that's one way of breaking barriers, if you want to use that term, mm-hmm. Breaking that barrier of these high guard walls that we create for ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen any impacts in the work you have done?
I've seen
in the community.
I see an impact every day. Mm-hmm. Every day that we go out and we do outreach and try to help an individual. Every day we ran our Code Blue Warming Center. We saw the effect of finding that narrative, that conversation, and opening up that platform to the idea of finding not always a solution, but just an idea of the possibility of finding a normality of the things that you are feeling that you're alone on.
Yeah, we also receive calls here at our office from families and just residents in general looking for resources, whether it has to do with mental health, food assistance, housing assistance, anything in that general area. And we're always happy to help individuals, regardless of status, regardless of age or, condition. Another thing that I did notice is when we were doing our mindfulness program, to go back to the anxiety in kids, when we were in one class, there was a lockdown drill, and we did have two kids in the class that had an anxiety attack. So luckily, we were able to use the technique that we were teaching to remind the kids, how to do it and the positives from it. And it was very helpful and useful.
And I think just kind of going off what Tom said, after going through our mindfulness program with the kids in Clifton, specifically third graders, we noticed that they're very open to mindfulness. Like, this is something it's not very new to them. They're pretty familiar with it. They're very open-minded in terms of mental health. So that's definitely one positive thing that I've noticed about the younger generation, because I know when I was that young, it wasn't like that, and I'm not that old. So yeah. Right. So it's nice to see that change.
Yeah, and the one important part that we take out of it is teaching kids, right, at an early age. We're working with third graders now, teaching them how to control their anxiety, reduce their stress throughout their life, so that when they do get older and when they are adults, they know what to do when they're feeling stressed and where to go for help if they need it. But it's also, help somebody when you can before the problem arises. So what better way to do it than working with kids and teaching them that?
Yeah. And, one thing that we're big on in the health department and just public health in general is prevention. Prevention is our number one thing that we try to execute. And, that's part of what we do here. So not just reactive, but proactive measures that we can take.
Absolutely. I know you guys touched upon the mindfulness program. Can you just elaborate what the mindfulness program is for listeners?
Sure. So mindfulness, it's the practice of being in the present moment. So any class that Erica or myself or the rest of us teach, we always started off with that understanding and philosophy, understanding that you are and living in the present moment. So whatever life stresses you have for the future or from the past should not interfere with your present moment. And when we work with kids, we teach that, and we do a different lesson. We have a script that we use from the Clifton School District, and there's a different lesson and subject for each class. So we do a breathing technique with the group. We also try to make it fun. We include a coloring activity or some kind of just fun group activity overall. And then we also like to share positive affirmations with the group. And we always remind them, you know, to keep that sheet with them in case they're having a rough day or a hard time at any point. They can pull it out and just remind themselves that, you know, there is a positive affirmation and way of remotivating yourself.
Obviously, part of the job of the health department is working different events and programs that we have for the community, not just mental health based. So I've worked events where I've run into some of my former students from the mindfulness program, and even the parents said they bring home their worksheets and they make them hang it up and they tell them about it. So that's something that's really, really comforting in regards to the mindfulness program.
Can you talk about any other specific programs you guys are doing within the city and within the community of Clifton? Besides mindfulness, are you guys only in the schools, or is there anywhere else you guys attend?
So we're currently doing Mindfulness for Seniors program at the Chelsea Assisted Living in Clifton. We also completed that program at Evergreen Manor earlier in the fall. It was a huge success. We averaged about 25 to 30 residents. And with that program, Erica, Nate, and I would go once a week for about an hour and, you know, discuss different techniques also with the seniors and just talk to them. Sometimes they just needed to have someone that they can talk to, whether it was about their life stress, their daily stress. And we would teach them different methods and techniques to use to live a more calm lifestyle.
We also offer our outreach programs at the May Memorial Library, Mondays from 10 to 12, to have a room down there, which it's disclosed, everything that we talk about, so you don't have to share anything with people that you don't feel comfortable sharing around in the library, which is a really intimate program kind of thing, so we can find out what really tailors to the individual who needs help. It's not just unhoused, it's seniors, anyone there.
At Maine Memorial Library?
Yeah, Maine Memorial Library's address is Piaget Avenue in Clifton, New Jersey. Zip code 07011. And then we also offer our outreach at the satellite office.
The Botany address is 207 Parker Ave, Clifton, New Jersey, 07011.
There we also help our unhoused community. We have various amounts of programs there. We'll have like a blood pressure check, HIV screening with Edge NJ. We'll have Passaic County Board of Social Services. We'll come out and visit and do outreach with us there. We offer all kinds of programs out there. We have Dr. Cole who comes out there and does his outreach and helps individuals who need to acquire a medical examination. We've also do our social work out there with helping individuals acquire government assistances and temporary rental assistance, TRA, work placement programs, resume building, career development. So we offer quite a lot of information and or resources within the social services department.
Thank you.
Those are the two things that stand out to me that we're currently offering, and the outreach is every week. So
every week on Fridays?
Fridays for the satellite, and then for the libraries every Monday, 10 to 12.
Okay.
And I think it's also important to note that as far as these screenings that we do and like blood pressure and everything, so when we hold these screenings, they're usually little to no cost. And they're for those who are insured, underinsured, or uninsured. And it doesn't matter your citizenship status. So I think that's something that is also important to note. We really just do our best to try and help everyone we can, no matter your situation.
There was a statistic given to the health department by the community policing division that because of our partnership down at the Botany Satellite Office, specific complaints were reduced. In 2021, before the Botany Satellite Office was open, they have reported 752 complaints in that area. In 2023, with the establishment of the satellite office, 274 complaints were reported. That is a 63.5% reduction in quality of life complaints in that area, which is a 2-year gap. My question is, why is this satellite office down in this area so important, and what makes our partnerships with the community policing department important to our community overall?
I would say being present is everything. Like I said, just having conversation, but being present is a groundbreaking effort, because you're not just artificial. You're not behind a desk in some 1-800 number that they can't see the person's face and not know if they're going to get help and when they're going to get help. We're there. We're present. We're making whatever effort we can to be relevant.
Yeah, I agree with Nate. I think having a presence there physically shows that you care. It's not just like, you know, call this number and reach out to this individual and they can help you. It shows that, you know, we're willing to sit down with someone, talk with them, listen to them, most importantly, because a lot of people don't have that opportunity to have someone to listen to, and just help them out in any way need that they have. I think it just shows that the city and the Clifton Health Department has, you know, reached to that area and really cares about helping each and every individual in that area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, and, you know, Art City is so huge and diverse. There's people with all different socioeconomic statuses, and we found that the Botany Village area had the highest need for our services, and a lot of residents there have trouble with transportation and just for, you know, just getting to the resources. So we did our best to bring the resources to them.
Yeah, and I also want I also wanted to add that outside of just transportation, you know, there are families that don't have internet access. Mm-hmm. And a way of finding that information online. So being able to share it with them physically, in person, has been a huge success as well.
Mm-hmm. So touching upon mental health, how can we reduce the stigma of mental health?
So I think part of what we can do is we can just educate the public. You know, everyone needs to take care of their mental health. You don't need to have like a diagnosed mental illness in order to take care of your mental health. So I think just educating people and bringing awareness and making people realize how common it is for people to deal or struggle with mental health, I think that's the biggest thing that we can do.
Yeah, and even like, you know, when we have our mindfulness class, you know, we lay out some ground rules, and those ground rules are, when someone else is speaking, you know, we listen, nobody else makes a comment or talks. And secondly, it's a judgment-free zone, right? So if someone says something, we don't make fun of them, we don't judge them. So we're really trying to like build that understanding at a very early age. But as Erica said, you know, that's part of the educational process, you know, having people understand from an early age what mental illness is, what anxiety is, and how they can cope with it on their own.
Everyone knows someone that has gone through or is currently going through something. And when you've experienced it and or understood that there's something in all of us that sometimes we need existential help, mm-hmm. there's power in that. And we were just talking about how, like, you heard of a story.
Right. Yeah. I recently watched a documentary, and this person was talking about the trauma that they experienced early in life, and this was maybe, I think, about 20 years ago or so. I'm paraphrasing because I don't remember, mm-hmm. you know, exactly the details, but that many years ago, this person went to therapy and expected the trauma to be resolved in a couple of weeks. Like, back then, that was the stigma. And of course, over time, that didn't really help heal that much. Mm-hmm. And in this documentary recently, the person went back and is healing in a better way.
Because there's newer groundbreaking techniques. There's that is part of the stigma, is I'm going into therapy. I did what everyone told me to do. I thought a solution should have been resolved by now in two sessions. And we as our group approaches this, we're understanding it a little more, that it takes duration, it takes commitment, it takes a bit of perseverance, but personal agility to want, personal like abilities to want to just grow.
Right, and more. Also when you think about it, you know, breaking that stigma of mental health is related to your overall health, you know, it ties into physical health. If you have a higher anxiety level, you have a higher risk for, you know, cardiac, heart disease, you have a higher anxiety level, blood pressure, you know, you have a higher chance of being a diabetic, obesity, everything ties into your mental health. And just building that, you know, understanding and education of, you know, it's okay to talk to someone, whether it's a professional, a friend, a family member, and just having someone where you can voice your concerns to.
Your words of wisdom really do truly help this community. And so how can we do more as a health department?
I think one thing people can do in general as a health department or just as a regular, you know, resident is looking into different things and volunteering your time. I think, you know, that is the best way to learn about something that you don't know about is actually experiencing it in person. You take a different idea away from it and you understand it from a different perspective as well.
Yeah. I also think, you know, we talked about educating the public, but I think it's also important for just everyone to kind of be open-minded and listen to your peers, your colleagues. Like, everyone has a story. And I think once you hear someone's personal story, that really kind of puts it more into perspective.
Like a personal testimony, basically.
Yeah, because, you know, if you have a preset attitude about something that maybe you don't know about, if you hear it from a different perspective, like a real life situation, you might kind of be like, oh, okay, I kind of understand a little better now.
Yeah, in a way, it's looking at it. It's, you know, it's like, don't judge someone until you walk in their shoes. You don't know what their world's like, what their past was like. So you really, you can't understand it until you experience it.
My way of looking at it is trust a process. Don't trust the process. Don't think that everyone has an exact solution for you.
Like a one-size-fit-all.
One-size-fit-all kind of technique. Mm-hmm. Because there are various amounts of different types of therapy and help. Or help out there. Mm-hmm. With the VA, specifically with mine. Okay. It was a series of events, series of emergency rooms, series of pharmaceutical dependencies. But my solution came through Tai Chi, meditation, mindfulness-based stress reduction, as well as other forms of just taking control of my thoughts. Mm-hmm. And that came through.
Like taking it back.
Taking it back. Taking allowing back. All my thoughts to find their place on stage of life.
Yeah.
Finding a theater that fits my mind and allowing it to be the play I want to see in my life.
Exactly.
So, and that was really powerful for me. So again, not every solution is the solution, but it is a possibility for a solution.
Absolutely. And so are there any upcoming events that you guys have developed so that more people can come and just meet people where they're at, just being in the place?
Yeah, so starting May 1st, we're actually going to be holding a grief support group specifically for individuals who have lost loved ones to addiction, whether it be substance use or alcohol use, whichever the case may be. That'll be the first Wednesday of every month for 6 months. If you have any questions about that, you can call the health department and we'll be happy to answer any questions. It's free, no registration required. It's just, you know, support group for everyone. And if you have any questions about the grief support group, you can call us at the health department at 973-470-5760.
We're also hosting a pediatric diabetes support group. That will start April 24th at 6 p.m. at Allwood Library. And this program will be held for anyone really in the school system. We've met with the nurses from the elementary schools through the high school. And anyone that's diagnosed with diabetes and is just looking for someone to talk to, obtain information about different community resources, and, you know, just talk about, you know, maybe family issues, school issues, and social issues that they're having that involves diabetes. That the program is actually being run by a social worker from Hackensack Meridian. She works with the Sanzari Children's Hospital, so we're very happy to have that. It'll be a six-week program, and it will take place every Tuesday from 6 to 7 p.m. starting April 24th at Allwood Library. And the address for the Allwood Library is 44 Lyle Road, Clifton, New Jersey.
Because April is Autism Awareness Month, are there any upcoming events we would like to share on what you guys are doing for
that? Yeah, sure. So the City of Clifton is hosting a Touch a Truck Autism Awareness event. That will be taking place at 51 Brighton Road at Station 5, right near Chelsea Park. With this event, we'll have the Clifton Police Department, the Clifton Fire Department, the Public Works Department come out, and they will all have one vehicle from their department. And it basically just builds a general, you know, better relationship with the community. If a family member comes out with a child that's diagnosed with autism spectrum disorder, it allows them to build a better understanding with their sensory needs to, like, sirens and different sounds that may be coming from these vehicles. Mm-hmm. And we're also going to have, like, different professionals there to talk with the family members and make different connections as well.
Cool. I know that you guys also have a – do you have the sports extravaganza? Is that full?
Yes. So we have a class, adaptive sports and athletics program that we're starting with Unique Athletics. Unique Athletics is a program that specifically works with individuals with developmental disabilities, and they do different exercise and sports classes. So we actually filled up in about 2 hours after opening the registration for the class.
That's awesome.
So we're looking forward to that. The first class will take place at Stefan Tatarenko Park, and that'll be on April 30th. And yeah, we're looking forward to it. It's something different, and the families and parents are very excited about it. And the location is near Broaddale Road and Standish Drive, Clifton, New Jersey.
Is there anything else?
Yeah, so with the program that we're running with the Mindfulness for Seniors, we're actually doing a class at the Arts Center. So the lifestyle director from the Chelsea of Clifton will be busing the group down to the Arts Center. And we've worked with Roxanne to put together a class for them. The class will involve a tour of the building so they can see all the different galleries and what it looks like. It'll have a short PowerPoint presentation as well to go over the history of the building. And then at the end, they'll be doing an arts and crafts project with an instructor there.
Thank you so much. That was awesome. I do appreciate you all coming on here, coming on the podcast, and sharing with us what you do every day. Is there a small takeaway you would like to let the community know about this social services division? What are some resources, if they would like to reach out to you, what specifically can they reach out to you for?
Sure. So as we mentioned, you know, the three of us all have our own passion and story, and we're very interested in helping the community in that area. When it comes to, you know, child mental health or family services, families can always they can always reach out to their schools. There's a child study team within every school district that can answer any questions and help any family member that needs continuous programming or services. The Mental Health Association in Clifton has been also very instrumental and helpful, offering services to adolescents, to adults, and anyone having any mental health distress.
Yeah, and you can always call us at the health department as well for anything specific. You know, we have an abundance of resources, so we try to help find what might be the most beneficial for each resident.
If you are experiencing homelessness, I do advise that you contact 211 as soon as you can, or help someone who you know is experiencing unhoused situation to contact 211, deal with the process and do the intake so that we could get them on a nationwide database and get them the government assistance that they could use. There's also a 988 number, which is a suicide prevention hotline. We advise if you know anyone who is thinking of hurting themselves and or anyone else, please reach out to that number and help them through the struggle that they might be going through. Just reassure the individuals that they are not alone in the situation that they are experiencing.
Thank you all. And we do hope to have you on some other time on Clifton Health on Air. So thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Lauren, take us out.
Tune in to our podcast every other Monday for a new episode. If you have any questions, you can email us at health@cliftonnj.org. You can visit our website at www.cliftonnj.org. You can follow us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram. Our handle is Clifton Health. And before we leave today, let us ask ourselves, did you make a difference in someone's life today?